This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Unsportsmanlike.
Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are expected to part ways.
And Evan, I know you are as big of a Bill Belichick person as anybody out there. Wellness check, my friend. How you doing?
It sucks. I mean, I'm not going to... I hate this. I love Belichick. He's the greatest NFL coach of all time. Oh, I'm not crying.
You're a little misty. You're a little misty. I'm sitting right next to you. I can see you.
I'm not crying.
I can see you.
Evan,
you're a little misty.
Evan, I can see it.
I hate this. Yeah, well, today's a day for me to cry a river. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty, Michelle, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. You can check in with us on social media at UnsportsESPN. We're going to have Canty's mock draft, where six of the top 12 picks were traded in Canty's mock draft. Plus, we have a poll question up based on last night's Heat-Sixers game, where Jimmy Butler unfortunately gets hurt. Miami had a 14-point lead. They end up losing the game to Philadelphia 105-104. Kudos to the Sixers, who are now going to play the New York Knicks. But the turning point of the game, and we are not kidding when we tell you this, was literally a moment in the third quarter of that game where the score was 59-48. Miami had the lead. I'm going to get to Belichick in a second. But 59-48, Miami had the lead with 6:57 to go in the third quarter. And Caleb Martin of the Heat had two free throws. He missed them both. And the fans, as a result, win free chicken as a result of two missed free throws. The crowd went absolutely berserk. They were booing the Sixers prior to that, and they went on an 8-0 run right then and there, and then outscored the Heat by double digits the rest of the way. And no joke, that was the turning point of the game, to which CeCe rightfully said or asked, does that confirm that chicken fingers, chicken tenders, are the number one ballpark or stadium or arena food? So we put it up. Now, this is amazing. Yes or no at UnsportsESPN, 85% are saying no.
Wow.
No.
How many other foods can get credit for a playoff win? Where's hot dogs playoff win?
So is
Where's hot, a taco playoff
so, so
win?
So now I've got to ask, like, what is the ultimate ballpark food? Is it hot dogs?
Okay. So I have to say something here. I think when you phrase it ballpark, you think specifically baseball, so most people think hot dog.
Oh, I like it. So we're going to blame Rob, our social media guy, for the phrasing on this.
If you're saying the best food to eat at a sporting event, you think of arenas as well, and which is not necessarily as synonymous with a hot dog. Like, when you think ballpark food, you think an ice-cold draft beer, and you think a hot dog. Not a chicken tender.
But we just talked about...
the chicken tenders are better at the ballpark, just like they're better at the arena, just like they're better at the stadium. It's just better.
And they have a playoff win.
They do. They do have that on their resume.
I mean, we just talked about Tua, how he's not good in the playoffs. Chicken fingers have a playoff win.
They do.
And honestly,
or a play-in win, however you want to look at it.
Chicken fingers, too, have more of a versatility with condiments. We can't forget about the different layers that a chicken... Ooh. Like, when you're talking about hot dog, you're typically talking ketchup and mustard. When you're talking chicken tenders, you've got ketchup, you've got honey mustard, you've got ranch, you've got Polynesian sauce if you're getting crazy. I mean, there's so many options as far as condiments go.
Well, I guess the people in Chicago put all of that on their hot dog anyway, so... I mean,
that is true. That is true. All right, so yesterday was an interesting day for one Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So... a huge story drops ESPN.com about Belichick, and Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, and Jeremy Fowler all contributed to that report. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, amazing 30-40-minute interview that Belichick did with Pat McAfee, noon until 3 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, that was just unreal in terms of the overall personality of Belichick. You saw him in a way with McAfee that you don't normally see him anywhere else. He was phenomenal. But it's amazing what this article has done in terms of all of the negative around Belichick, that Robert Kraft may have talked to Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, kind of putting in a negative word for him. And I'm just going to throw this out there, and I said this to you guys, and I still believe this. I think The Dynasty, the documentary on Apple Plus, Making Belichick Look Bad, and this article, Making Belichick Look Bad, is the best thing that could happen to Belichick. And the reason I say that is when he was, let's just call it, let go by the Patriots, everyone was looking at it saying, yeah, you know what? I know he had these 20 years and 6 Super Bowls, et cetera, but the last 4 have been a disaster. And it was a referendum on his coaching as well as his work as a general manager. And nobody was really defending him except for diehards like myself. What's happened here is that the critique of him has gone so far and has forgotten the difficulty of winning not one, but 6 Super Bowls where we sit next to someone every single day, Smalls, you and I, that won one, and he talks about how hard it is to win the one. Mm-hmm. Belichick won five more than that. And I actually think the players now, from Julian Edelman to Steph Gilmore to others, coming out and defending him is actually going to help him. And, CeCe, this, to me, has gone too far against Belichick.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's an indictment on Robert Kraft, no doubt. And this is the perfect example of never wanting to see your ex do better than the next. Like, he already had to live that movie with Tom Brady. They jettisoned him. He wins a Super Bowl in year one with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It has that same aura around it, Robert Kraft not wanting Bill Belichick to go somewhere else, break the all-time wins record, and, oh, by the way, have that franchise in position to compete for a title, knowing that the Patriots are about to go through a multi-year rebuild. So it feels like that on its face. But I'm just sitting here thinking about the other teams that were on the other end of those phone calls from Robert Kraft. Think about it. The Philadelphia Eagles, they were like, yeah, we thought about it, but owner Jeffrey Lurie didn't know that it was worth overhauling the entirety of their franchise when it comes to football philosophy, you know, front office personnel, coaching staffs. Was it worth it to do that, knowing that the Eagles are in win-now mode anyway?
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. Then the Atlanta Falcons of it all, knowing that they were going to be big game hunting at the quarterback position with Kirk Cousins, and they decided not to go down that road because Belichick is quote-unquote hard to work with. And maybe Rich McKay and Terry Fontenot, the GM, don't want to deal with that. Then also the Washington Commanders. Josh Harris saying that he wants a similar structure in his organization with the Commanders that he had with the Devils and with the Sixers, which is a strong general manager and the head coach working under that, and how hiring Belichick would be a problem with that. I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to hire weak people just so they can kowtow to the quote-unquote strong general manager that you have in place. Not to disparage Adam Peters in any way, but I'm just simply saying...
Yeah, he wasn't hired at that point, yeah, so you're good.
But just to say that that's a part of the math when it comes to your decision-making. It's unbelievable. How about the Carolina Panthers? Owner David Tepper, who loves to break down the analytics behind his coach's decisions and saying that Bill Belichick wouldn't fit into that math in terms of allowing him that type of access and allowing him to question what Belichick would be doing with the Carolina Panthers. I'm sorry. When did everybody in the NFL lose their damn minds? Bill Belichick is a damn good coach. Now, maybe the general manager, Bill Belichick, undermined the head coach, but the word on the street was that Belichick would have been amenable to having a general manager in place that was going to have decision-making power over the roster. So if Belichick is not going to be the person in charge of personnel, then I'm completely fine with him being my head coach because he's damn good at it. He's one of the best, if not the best, the game has ever seen. It's Vince Lombardi, then it's Bill Belichick. And some probably might flip that order because of what he's been able to do and his 50-year tenure. Think about it. Over five decades in the National Football League. And then all of a sudden, we just decide this guy can't coach anymore.
You know, but I believe that your passion plea that you just had, I don't know that you would have had it or it would have fallen on deaf ears if not for all of the anti-Belichick stuff. There wouldn't have been a place for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I actually think the anti-Belichick stuff has been the greatest PR for him because you've got former players and analysts and hosts like CeCe coming out, Smalls, and defending the guy that he had no reason to defend a month or two ago. That the dynasty in this article is actually going to help Belichick because now he's got a PR team that he didn't pay for.
You know, guys, the great American poet Lil Wayne once said, we live in the same building, but we got different views.
Yep.
We read the same article, and I have a completely different perception of this article and of this situation than the two of you do, okay?
Go for it.
Yes, Bill Belichick is one of, if not the greatest coach to ever coach in the history of the NFL. We cannot take the resume away from him. However, where we sit today is not the resume. We need to look at the age. We need to look at the timeline with which this new franchise is going to bring him in and what he can give them and what they're going to have to accomplish in that short amount of time. Plus, we need to look at what happened in New England recently. On the television side, we have a graphic up right now that said, did Robert Kraft sabotage Bill Belichick? I read this article and in no way did I think that he sabotaged him. It says in the article that Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, is one of Robert Kraft's closest friend. He's an incredible close friend to him and a confidant within the NFL circles. So when Arthur Blank calls Robert Kraft to ask him about Bill Belichick and get an honest assessment of what it's like to bring this person in and to work with him, he owes it to his friend to give an honest assessment of that. And Bill Belichick comes with different circumstances. He's going to come in. He's going to have a certain level of arrogance, by the way, which he's earned based on the accomplishments that he has. He's going to come in, and even though he says that he's going to be collaborative, and he might be to a certain measure, he's going to want to do things his way. And for an organization, especially one like the Falcons, where in this piece it said that Arthur Blank does not like confrontation and he does not like coaching searches, if you truly believe that Bill Belichick is going to come in and he's going to have to do things his way, and you may only get him for 2 years, if you expect him to get the all-time coaching record and then be done, that is a big risk for potentially little to no reward.
I hear you, Smalls, but I'm just sitting here thinking about it. There have been 9 coaching hires this offseason, excluding the Patriots one. You're talking about 8 other jobs. Half them coaches going to be gone in the next 3 years.
Easily.
So I mean, why does age,
if not before then,
why does age have to be a factor when hiring Belichick? Like, we were talking about a 3-year proposition. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, that's all you're betting on with Kirk Cousins if you look at the contract that they gave him. So why wouldn't Belichick be good under that circumstance? That's the part that doesn't make any sense. And here's the other part, the coup de grace for me. Like, if anybody in the building was good at what they'd be doing, what they're doing, then guess what? The team wouldn't be in a position where they're looking for a coach.
Exactly right.
Like, if Rich McKay and Terry Fondo, the GM for the Atlanta Falcons, were so good at their damn jobs that you couldn't get rid of them, that they were indispensable, then why the hell are you looking for a head coach? The same could be said for the Tennessee Titans. Same could be said for the Washington Commanders. Same could be said for any the Carolina Panthers. Any of these other vacancies that were available during this hiring cycle. To but just gloss over Bill Belichick and not look at him as an option because of the quote-unquote arrogance or ego? Newsflash. Everybody in the NFL has an ego. In order to be good at your job at that level, you kind of have to have one.
But Bill Belichick's still looking for a job.
And it's
could
absurd.
We apply that same logic to Bill Belichick? He has not had success in New England over the past few years. Therefore, he's looking for a job. And I think Robert Kraft, frankly, doesn't owe Bill Belichick anything at this point. They had an amazing partnership for a long time that resulted in a lot of success. And there was a lot of tension and turmoil at the end. I think if anything, he owes it to Arthur Blank to tell him the truth, that it wasn't sunshine and rainbows and confetti all the time, that there was a lot of tension and there was a lot of concessions that he had to make in order for Bill Belichick to get things his way. If anything, Robert Kraft did the right thing by telling his friend about the exact circumstances that he could expect to walk into if he hires Bill Belichick.
But here's the problem I have if we're going to make it specific to Atlanta, because that's the relationship he has with ownership, with Arthur Blank. And we say, well, Bill Belichick hasn't done anything the last 4 years with New England post-Brady. He's done more than Atlanta's done. Played in the playoffs. Atlanta hasn't done that. So we're going to keep Rich McKay because he runs the team. And we're not going to keep Belichick. I don't want to leave Fontenot out of there because he just got there, right? So let's not put that on him. And obviously, again, separate from Raheem Morris, like some of these franchises that can say, well, look at Belichick post-Brady. Belichick post-Brady is still better than some of these franchises that were in the market for a head coach. And here's the other thing. Think about this. When you have a relationship, with a business relationship with someone for 20 years, there are so many ins and outs of that relationship that explaining that to someone else, I don't think is even fair. And I have been a fan of Kraft, but if Kraft badmouthed Belichick, I'd be upset about that. I'd be disappointed in that because to me, when Arthur Blank makes that call and he says, tell me about Belichick, my answer is either nothing, I'm not going to, or I'm going to say, listen, Arthur, Bill and I worked together for 20 years. The ins and outs of that relationship would take the next 20 years to explain. You got to have your own relationship with him. I can't explain ours. It's not going to be similar. This is our year 21. It's not your year one.
Yeah, bad-mouthing an ex says more about you than it does the actual person you're talking about.
But we're saying bad-mouthing. How do we know it's not just telling the truth? Just simply stating what the relationship was. Because this is his closest friend in NFL circles who's coming to him, asking him for a genuine recommendation and piece of advice on if he should hire this person and or what it's going to be like. I don't think it's fair to characterize simply stating the truth about someone to be bad-mouthing. Right. If Bill Belichick had certain characteristics that maybe weren't so favorable, that's not Robert Kraft bad-mouthing him if he's explaining that. And it's up to Arthur Blank to decide whether or not he's ready to take that risk.
You may not be wrong, Smalls, but what gets lost in all of it is, does Bill Belichick give me a better chance to win than hiring ex-coach?
Yes. And I don't even know who ex-coach is,
but,
and yes.
But that's my point, though. Like, a lot of this sounds like feelings and not about the objective of it all, which is to win and win at the highest levels of the sport. I don't know that there's an argument to be made that Bill Belichick doesn't help you do that, more so than most of the coaches that have been hired in this cycle.
All right, to be continued. We're going to continue this conversation because between the story yesterday and the interview with McAfee, there's a lot more to do as to whether or not Kraft may have sabotaged Belichick. Is Belichick begging for a job? Can he choose a job? We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance, all with Progressive. What's up? We're doing a show. What about you? CeCe just walks in and goes, what's up?
T said, what's up to you?
Yeah. What is it, like the first time I saw you today?
What's I up? Love that.
Hey, what's going on? What are you even up to today?
No, I thought you were talking to me when I came into the studio.
I was talking about pet insurance.
It felt like you were talking to me.
Are you a pet?
You made eye contact.
Because I'm looking at the
camera. You made eye contact with me.
It was a one shot.
He made eye contact with me. I'm not crazy. Ev locked eyes with me. And I'm sorry I don't share in your pain this morning. Because your Miami Heat lost, and looks like you're probably going to get bounced from the play-in tournament.
Yeah, not ideal.
And then you got the hit piece from Bill Belichick.
Not an ideal day for me.
Not a great day for your sports fandom.
So we left off discussing this Belichick conversation about Kraft, and it becomes more of, if you break up with someone personally or professionally, what is the best method if someone you're close with, in essence, asks you for a referral? Because that's what the reporting indicates here, that Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, is calling Robert Kraft, his friend and business partner in the NFL, and asking about what it's like to work with Bill Belichick. And my thought is, if you have something negative to say about a guy that helped your franchise become the greatest franchise in the history of sports, arguably, maybe you do it in a softer way, or maybe you kind of don't do it at all. But I understand that, like, he may have a better relationship in real life with Arthur Blank than he does with Bill Belichick. But I just don't feel comfortable if this is all true and Kraft's denying this. And I'm not saying if the reporting is true, but I'm saying if the Kraft part of it is true. Like, I'm uncomfortable hearing that Kraft may have badmouthed Belichick to Arthur Blank.
Yeah, I am too. And I wonder, like, if all of the things that Kraft is saying is true, then how was it tenable for 24 years with him as your head coach?
There's an answer. The answer is he's going to win for you. So are you willing to sign up for rough around the edges for more wins than your franchise has ever had? And my answer, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons right now, is yes. You know why, Smalls? because I went out there and I got a quarterback and I paid him top of the market money in Kirk Cousins because I'm telling the world I want to win right now.
You're assuming, though, that the Falcons, let's use them as the example here because we're having the conversation about Robert Kraft and Arthur Blank, are going to get the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick version, the version of him when he was winning with Tom Brady, and not the version that we've seen the past couple years in New England post-Tom Brady. And I don't understand how speaking with candor and telling the truth about a working relationship that you have with someone, when you're sharing that with someone that you consider to be a friend, is bad-mouthing. I don't think the truth is bad-mouthing. And it's not all easy with Bill Belichick. We know this. He would even say it's not all easy with him. And I don't understand how giving a truthful depiction of what Arthur Blank would be walking into is somehow sabotage or bad-mouthing him in any way. It says in the piece that Arthur Blank likes to have a family environment with his employees and his coaching staff. For Robert Kraft to say, hey, I know this is the way that you like to do things, Bill Belichick is not going to have a warm conversation with you. Bill Belichick is not going to have a family environment. It's strictly a business environment with him. And I don't know if that's going to mesh well with the vision that you have for this head coach moving forward. I don't know how that's bad, guys. It might not just be a fit. The reality of who Bill Belichick is as a coach and as an employee might not be the best fit for the Falcons. And I don't think expressing that to your friend is in any way a negative thing.
Well, I wonder if losing is a good fit for the Falcons. Because you talk about family environment and things being easy. Guess what's not easy in the NFL? Winning. And Bill Belichick is known for having the mantra of do your job. And it's a business-like approach. They have a workman-like approach when it comes to his teams. And that's why they were able to have that sustained success for over two decades. Now, I get it. It didn't look well at the end. And I think you can point to Bill Belichick, the general manager, underlying Bill Belichick, the head coach. But again, wherever he was going to go, he wasn't going to be the GM. There was going to be somebody else buying the groceries. But when it comes to being a tactician, when it comes to somebody putting players in schemes where they can have success, where you accentuate the positives and you mitigate the negatives, there's nobody in the history of the NFL that's better at that than Bill Belichick. So if you're a franchise that's trying to get out of your own way and figure out how to get your program on a track where you can consistently compete, why wouldn't you be interested in Bill Belichick? And again, you're talking about somebody that's probably going to be there for a good time, not a long time. But I could say that about Bill Parcells with most of the stops that he had post-New York Giants. How'd that work out for those franchises? He was with the New England Patriots. They went to a Super Bowl. He was with the Dallas Cowboys. You're talking about a team that had a really good track record, made a lot of playoff appearances when he was there. He was with the Miami Dolphins. He got to the playoffs with Chad Pennington as his quarterback. Like, every franchise that he went to was for the better for it. Even the New York Jets, God's sakes, was for the better for it when Bill Parcells was there. Bill Belichick is of that same milk. He's off that same coaching tree. Why would we think that Bill Belichick, from a football philosophy standpoint, when it comes to establishing the kind of culture that would lead to your team being able to have sustained success, why would we think he can't implement that even if he's only there for two or three years?
So here's another way of doing this. Very quickly, over under 2.5 years as the head coach of the team from this point on. Okay, 2.5 years. So Belichick, oh, he's 72. If he was there at 63 years old, it would be a lot different. All right? Dave Canales, Panthers.
Oh, under.
Okay?
Under. You're saying 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Under.
And that may not be because of him. That's because of the owner of the team. Mm-hmm. And
do you really think Bill Belichick would drastically shift that?
No. Well, but here's the point. I'm getting.
If there is a coach that's out there that can do it, it would be him.
Right. So
it would be him.
Antonio Pierce, over under 2.5.
I got to go over. That's my guy.
Okay, Mike McDonald in Seattle.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say over.
Brian Callahan in Tennessee.
Under.
Washington, Dan Quinn.
Ooh, that's a coin flip.
Okay, now here's the real kickers. Three of them. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia.
Under.
Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Under.
Sean McDermott in Buffalo.
Under.
So we're talking about a guy that may only have 2 or 3 years, and then I just gave you a list of 5 to 8 coaches that only have 2 or 3 years. What the heck are we talking about here? He is going to come back with a vengeance. Oh, I can't wait. That's it. I'm officially in. Wherever he goes, I'm going with him. We're unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, hey, Ma, what's up? I haven't heard this in forever. I see everybody bobbing their head here. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Damian Woody is in with us. He played for the Pats. He was drafted by the Pats and Belichick. Your reaction to everything that has gone on over the last 24 hours with the great... It's a great article, don't get me wrong, yes, and amazing reporting, but the conversation about Belichick, and specifically from Robert Kraft, maybe sabotaging him a little bit?
What the hell is going on, like, with Robert Kraft? Like, what did Bill do to you to have this type of vitriol to go out there and to, like, have that conversation with Arthur Blank to sabotage Bill Belichick in that interview process? I just don't get it, man. Like, this man has got you 6 world championships.
Yeah.
Like, the way Bill elevated the New England Patriots, we talk about the Patriots along the lines of the Cowboys. I'm talking about as far as prestige as a franchise, the Cowboys, the Steelers, you know, all those type of teams. I mean, it just baffles me as a former player to see, you know, see the owner really stabbing the guy in the back, man, for all he's done for the organization.
Yeah, and I know
I just don't understand.
I know you got to feel a way about it because, like, you were drafted by Bill. Like, this is somebody that you have an allegiance to. But when I read the article, some of the reasons that were presented by these teams for not hiring Bill just didn't make sense to me. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, said, is it worth overhauling our front office, our coaching staff, and our football philosophies for a guy that's only going to be there for 2 or 3 years? When the reality is that the majority of the coaches that were hired in this cycle won't last 3 years. So I just didn't understand that. The Atlanta Falcons, well, Arthur Blank wants a family atmosphere. He wants to, he likes.
Can
he
we
likes
stop it. Right there, please? Can we stop right there?
Thank you.
What the hell is a family environment? I thought it was about winning. Everything is about winning. It's about winning championships. Everything comes with winning. I get so sick of this whole, you know, we want to collaborate. You know, collaborate. What the hell does that even mean? Like, we're trying to win championships. You're talking about, like, a football savant, a football genius. And he's not even, like, I guess this like panel of people there in Atlanta, Arthur Blank's confidants that, you know, help him make a decision. And Bill's not even like in your top three. I can't even take you seriously. You're talking about the greatest coach in NFL history. And he's not even in your top three. All because we want to be collaborative. Man, look, man, I'll tell you one thing. We lucky this Disney because the tirade that I really want to pull, man, this is crazy.
Oh, Damian, I wish that this was on Sportsmanlike After Dark so we could hear exactly what you're thinking right now. You could just let it fly. But I view this in a completely different way than the three of you. We were just talking about it before you joined us. But I don't look at this as Robert Kraft sabotaging Bill Belichick. I look at him as giving his friend, Arthur Blank, an honest assessment of what it's like to work with Bill Belichick or to have him in your employ. And you know better than anybody, it's not easy. So I don't understand why giving an honest assessment of someone and giving the truth is deemed to be a bad thing.
You know, Michelle, I think where I disagree with the whole premise is if you take the take Dynasty, if you take that, combine it with this, to me, that it just seems like it's a lot more than what you're insinuating right now.
It's a character assassination.
Yes, that's exactly what it seems like to me, because we all know that the Dynasty, you know, that whole documentary did not look well on Bill Belichick.
It was an
assassination piece.
It was an
assassination piece on Bill Belichick, and then we see, you know, read the ESPN article, and it's just like Bill's the nail and Robert Kraft's the hammer. It's just been constant, man. And I just don't get it.
Well, why? I mean, listen, I am admittedly biased as a Pats fan that loves Belichick. Why do you think this is happening? Seriously, why do you think this is happening right now? Because this is abnormal, the amount of, I guess, hate, critique for a guy that is better at his job than anyone has ever been in any of our lifetimes at their job coaching football. Why is this happening, Damon?
I wish I could tell you. Like, I wish I had an answer, to be honest with you, because I'm just like, again, look at how this organization was elevated under Bill Belichick. And obviously we can't forget about Tom Brady and being in that equation, but bro, you know how much money Bill has made that man? How much the valuation of that franchise has skyrocketed when Bill Belichick, you know, stepped foot on the scene? And to go out there and just have this character assassination after 20-plus years of working together, you didn't even have to say anything. You could have kept your mouth shut, but you chose not to. That speaks volumes to me.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Shifting gears, Damian, we're a week away from the NFL draft, and it's one of the most exciting times because a lot of millionaires are going to be made. A lot of families are going to be changed forever with these young men stepping into the National Football League. But a big question mark is what happens with your New York Jets at the number 10 spot. Now, I just did a mock draft in our 6 o'clock hour. I got the New York Jets moving up to get wide receiver Malik Nabers. Ooh. Your thoughts on the Jets going all in and going after a pass catcher like that? I know you're an offensive lineman. I know they have a needed offensive line. But your thoughts on the Jets making a big move up to get Malik Nabers?
Well, I think your rationale is like, if you're going to be all in, be all in.
Yeah, with Aaron Rodgers. Opposite of the Dallas Cowboys.
The opposite of the Dallas Cowboys. Because, you know, listen, here's how you got to look at the whole Jets thing right now. You already lost a year with Aaron Rodgers with the Achilles. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to make moves now. You don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. So I get it to go out there and get another weapon. Obviously, Mike Williams, who you signed in free agency, he's coming back off the ACL.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure that, you know, not only do you want to have the weapons, but hedging your bet on, you know, Mike Williams coming back off that injury as well. So that's what you call all in. Now, me personally, if the Jets stay at 10, I would want them to take a lineman. Because I need to make sure that Aaron Rodgers, 40, 41 years old,
yeah,
I need to make sure he's protected. Because anyone who's watched the Jets like I have knows that their O-line is like cursed. Even with all the moves that they've made this offseason, you still have two 30-plus-year-old tackles, okay, that have had problems staying on the field. I need to make sure that my star quarterback is on the field every single game.
Damian, speaking of quarterbacks and being all in, it feels like the Miami Dolphins are all in on Tua. Their GM, Chris Greer, said that they're going to focus on Tua's contract after the draft. If you were sitting in Chris Greer's chair, would you be all in on Tua Tagovailoa?
You sign him to that contract, you stuck. You stuck. I look at it like this, man. Initially I said that the one question that Tua had to answer coming into last season was his ability to stay on the field.
Yeah.
He did that. But I'll say this, man, this is just not only speaking for Tua, but for some of these other quarterbacks. If you're putting $45, $50 million into these quarterbacks, who's really moving the needle? Is Tua moving the needle?
No.
No, he's not. Like, we've seen him. They got Tyreek Hill. Look at the weapons that Tua has around him. Where has he gotten the Dolphins?
Early exits in the playoffs.
Has it gotten him anywhere?
No.
No. And now you're about to go ahead and give him, you know, in excess of, what, $45 million a year?
50.
That's the going rate for the quarterbacks right now.
When you don't have to.
You can
franchise him after next year.
You can franchise him. Keep extending it. Extend out as long as you can. And maybe you say, you know what? We're not willing to pay that money. Maybe we'll reset and go with a rookie or something like that and see if we can do it from there. But once you go out, once you decide that you're going to pay Tua Tagovailoa $45, $50 million, I don't want to hear not one complaint from anyone affiliated with the Dolphins, because that dude is not moving the needle. That dude is not overcoming Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
No.
None of those.
He had a chance to.
CJ Stroud.
Week 18 at home against the Bills for the division. What happened? Those are the games you pay quarterbacks $50 million a year plus for.
And it, like we said, I rest my case.
There it is. But we got to switch gears before we get you out of here. Yeah. Our Lakers advanced to the playoffs. They wanted to play in against the Pelicans. We got the Denver Nuggets. How you feeling?
I'm not feeling great about the matchup. But here's what I'm going to say.
Why don't you guys believe in them? I think the Lakers are going to be
competitive. Here's what I'm going to say. Last year, everyone brings up when they got swept. The point margin was like one of the smallest in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
So all of those games were close. I need the Rui Hachimuras, the Austin Reed. Those are the guys that got to step their game up a little bit. If they're going to make up that, somehow swing
D-Lo
the margin.
D-Lo was big against
the Pelicans. D-Lo has to be huge.
Yeah.
If they're going to swing that margin their way, those are the guys that got to come up big for the Lakers to win this.
And very important also to note that Damian Woody yesterday tried to mess up the draft process while getting a pedicure and manicure.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm big on self-care, bro. Like, I'm going to make sure I'm taken care of.
But he literally put out on Twitter, at Damian Woody, "I'm sitting here stirring up the draft pot while getting a pedicure and manicure, so don't mind me, LOL.
Yeah.
We're on sports. We're like, I'm over it next. But first, of course, you can probably get all taken care of yourself at La Quinta, right? I mean, that's the thing. Damian says, "I'm big on self-care." Well, the self-care at La Quinta, any single La Quinta you go to all across the country, you know is going to have a gym. That's the self-care. Plus, you got to eat, right? Breakfast is an important part of the day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any food. And you know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee, skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with fresh hot waffles? I would. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, Pat Costello, our producer, gives us items around sports, news, entertainment that he is over. I got to ask a very quick question, though. Michelle Smallman, I know you absolutely love, and so does social media at Unsports ESPN, Brian Windhorst hand motions when he's on with us.
Love.
Damian Woody just put it down, though, with some of the hand motions with the collaborate with the big air quotes.
Yeah. Yep.
Better hand motions of the week. We're going to put out all the memes of the week. Windy or Woody? Very quickly here on this, Smalls.
Ooh, both were great. I think I got to give it to Brian Windhorst, though. Like, Damian was great talking about Belichick, but Windy did it with several different topics with the hand motions. He really sold it for us.
With the flicking. He did a flicking.
Oh, the hand motions were great. He didn't sell me on the point that he was trying to make, though.
Irrelevant.
I still don't think Klay Thompson coming back with the Golden State Warriors, but that's another conversation that we could have in another segment because this is...
Oh, this is... Yeah, we can't take time away from Pat, God forbid.
The floor is yours.
It rude. I have to do a bit of self-reporting.
Oh.
Oh.
I'd like to start with saying I'm a very clean person. I keep a very clean apartment.
But?
Bathroom, great. Stove, great. All of it. You know, I dust. I vacuum. It never occurred to me until yesterday that you should wash your pillow.
The case?
No, the actual pillow.
Oh, I didn't know you were supposed to do that.
Yeah, so I washed my pillows yesterday for the first time ever. And I've had these pillows for quite some time. And it was a complete game changer. So I recommend to everyone washing your pillow.
Did they come out lumpy?
No, no.
You
just follow the directions on the tag. Tells you what to do, and it was great.
I never knew.
I actually took my pillows to the dry cleaner with the comforter. So anytime I go to take the comforter to the dry cleaner, I take the pillows to the dry cleaner too.
Not the pillowcase.
No, the pillows.
Yeah, the pillow itself. I mean, I've always washed the pillowcases. That's
pillow?
Not an issue.
Yeah, to the dry cleaner?
Yeah. Because I didn't think that it was machine washable.
Yeah, it's right there on the tag.
I didn't know. Well, I mean, I got the Tempur-Pedic pillow, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I have memory foam. You can. Yeah. You have to dry clean memory foam?
That's what I've been doing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it seems to work out for me. I didn't know that the memory foam was machine washable, so I didn't want to risk it all, is what I'm saying, because I love my pillow.
All right, Matt, it makes me happy that I thought that I was going to be alone on this, and you guys were going to be like, whoa, you're disgusting. But apparently no one does. So.
I would say 90% of people don't know you're supposed to wash your pillow, not pillowcase, right?
No.
I think you're very much in the majority, and you actually just did a PSA.
Yeah, so how often are you supposed to wash them, Pat?
I have no. This was the first time I've ever done it. So once every 20 years.
Once every couple of decades.
Next one, Pat.
Hold on really quickly. I just Googled it. You can wash a memory foam pillow, but you're not supposed to do it in the washing machine. But it says you can vacuum a memory foam pillow, which doesn't feel like it would be as effective. But
yeah, I don't know about that. Interesting.
Never knew it. Next one, Pat.
I don't know what's going on with Drake right now, but he needs to, like, relax. I feel like every day there's just drama with Drake going on, and it's just, like, rich guy celebrity drama, and it's really kind of corny at this point. It feels like all that's happening is, like, he and Rick Ross currently are just trying to grab headlines of, like, who's the richer rich guy? It's like, all right, relax, guys. Come on.
Yeah, let's make fun of whose private jet is smaller or whose house on Star Island is smaller. Like, I don't even understand what the beef is all about.
Yeah, I saw something on this.
I know there was a nose job thing that came up.
Yeah, I didn't realize that part of it, that Drake got a nose job. I didn't know that. Whatever. But
allegedly.
I don't care.
Allegedly? No, I don't think it's allegedly. When you do the side-by-side, I think it's obvious. But who cares?
But
I guess the point is, who cares?
I've heard a lot of people are disappointed with the way that this rap beef has evolved, knowing it's not, thankfully, it's not going to get violent in any way, shape, or form, because these are not violent people. I mean, we've seen some tragic rap beefs in our day, right?
Have.
That I think a lot of people are disappointed that they're kind of trying to squash this and not going harder at each other to make it into something like the best versus the best and really go at each other.
I think this is setting up for a mixtape or an album drop.
So it's not a real beef.
I think these are friends creating a beef.
Yeah.
And then setting it up to move units when it comes to album sales.
So you don't want to go anywhere personal, because then that would disrupt the album sales in that spot. If you're doing it together. Right. Hey, oh my God, Drake and Rick Ross are doing a tour together. I didn't see that coming. Or J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake. Which, I mean, would sell out every arena, would it not?
Yeah, I guess so.
How do you rank those three?
What do you mean?
Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole.
Ooh, I would say Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole.
Wow, Smalls?
Are we talking lyrically or full body of work?
However you want to do it.
Well, full body of work, I think Drake blows everybody away. He has more hits currently than anybody. But I would say lyrically, I would go J. Cole, Kendrick, then Drake.
Wow. J. Cole over Kendrick.
I would go Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick in that order. I know everybody was asking my opinion on that.
Kendrick last? Wow. Okay. These are massive upsets.
Kendrick was amazing in Power. If anybody saw him in Power, he was phenomenal in that great show. Shout out to Ghost and Tommy. Those aren't real people. Next one, Pat.
I don't like what's happening with robots currently. I don't like seeing these videos of these robots coming out of the like Boston Dynamics labs or whatever, where they've got all these human characteristics and are like running around and can like bend over backwards and do backflips and stuff. Did we learn nothing from movies? Has anyone seen iRobot? Am I the only one that's concerned about this? We're literally building robot overlords and we're just letting it happen because it's cool to watch on TikTok. What are we doing?
I'm all about the robot.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I'm all about the robot. He's talking about like the different robots like that can do things now. They can actually dance. They can mimic human movement. Like it's a whole wave that's happening with robots.
Oh, I guess I missed that.
It's a whole wave that's happening with robots. And I'm just sitting here thinking about the new ways that technology is going to make my life easier. Like if I've got a robot butler, I'm all for it. If I've got a robot that can go run my errands, why not? Hell, if my robot can chauffeur me around town in my car and I don't have to pay an Uber, that's great. Well, I just, like, the whole robot thing, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Let's see where this thing takes us.
Until he locks you in the car, you can't get out. Yeah. And then,
we have to get that morbid here.
Well, but that's what Pat's kind of saying. Like, that's where we're headed.
This feels like a risk, guys. These robots are very smart, and it feels like one day, CeCe, it's your butler, and the next day you're locked out of the house, and the robot is running the show.
Would you rather Jeffrey from Fresh Prince?
Our technology already kind of runs us, though, doesn't it? Like, I mean, think about it. If you lose your phone, that's a bigger deal than if you lose your wallet.
Yeah, but I can beat up my phone. I can't beat up a robot.
Yeah, true.
Would you rather Jeffrey from Fresh Prince or a robot as the butler?
Which Jeffrey, though? The one from the remake?
The new one or the old one?
Yeah, because the new one.
I need the new one. The new one can get the new one can handle some problems.
I haven't seen that one.
The new Jeffrey is more like Ray Donovan.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yes. I'll take Ray Donovan. That'd be good.
I got somebody that can fix problems for me.
Fresh Prince was terrible.
I can do that for you. You need to take somebody out. You got the robot bullet.
Obviously. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.